And I think maybe this is what helped me to kind of heal kind of quite quickly from the relationship, is realizing that I was gaining myself by exiting out of the relationship.
Totally. Yeah.
To reason with someone is to motivate them to do or accept topics, ideas, and issues through discussion and having conversations.
This podcast is about the relationship with ourself and the relationship with others, finding our stability in our self-worth, and how do we actually be in healthy relationships. We find this out through connection, compassion, and communication. Reach out, connect with me, like, subscribe, comment. I want to unpack whatever it is that we can to really get to the nitty and gritty of finding out how do we get better in ourselves and how do we get better in our relationships. Katie O'Donoghue is a certified relationship coach, speaker, inner child expert, and host of the Self Explained podcast. Katie's passion lies in supporting people who come from dysfunctional or broken family dynamics to create a brand new relationship with themselves so that they can put an end to repeating their childhood trauma in their adulthood relationships. Her teachings revolve around reclaiming your inner child and reshaping your self-image so that you can rewire the patterns in your relationships. Can't wait to have Katie. Super stoked about this podcast. Let's jump in. All right. Welcome back to the podcast. I am sitting here and very grateful to be with Katie. Welcome, Katie.
Hey, Jackson. How are you?
I am really good. It's been a day. I've been waiting to do this with you for a few weeks. I know that we kind of got into some trouble, I think, on both ends, and we're finally doing it. So I'm super excited and ready to jump in.
Yeah, me too. I mean, we got over the kind of obstacles over the last 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a good conversation today. So I'm excited. Mm. Also kind of a little bit nervous as well. It's been a while since I've been on this side of the mic.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess we'll just see and we'll edge it and sort of figure out where we go from here. I'm just stoked to meet you, and I think your Instagram's awesome, and yeah, I think we have some mutuals around the place and different little walks of life as well, so I'm sure we'll produce something cool throughout our time talking. So let's jump in. Who the hell are you and what do you do?
Ooh, I love that question. I want to start by saying I'm a human being, first of all, because I know there's going to be a lot of labels come up that are going to define how other people see me. But my name is Katie O'Donoghue, for anyone who doesn't know me, and I'm a relationship coach. And my true passion is helping people who come from dysfunctional or broken family systems to create a brand new relationship with themselves. So what this means is that, you know, the way they see themselves will change through their time with me. And because of that, the way they view relationships will change too. And so a lot of the time it might mean, you know, stopping your childhood trauma from showing up in your romantic relationships, which happens quite a bit, and moving into a safe, stable, nurturing, loving relationship by doing the work on yourself. So that's kind of who I am professionally, but personally, that's a whole other story. But I will say my personal background is why I became a relationship coach. So I'm definitely not the coach who claims to know it all or to be it all or to have it all, because my personal background is, you know, growing up in a home where there was addiction, domestic violence, mental health issues, parental divorce, and a lot of high-low cycles, which shaped a lot of my relationships. So I am a coach for relationships because of getting how messy and complicated and scary and fun and loving that they can be all at once. So I guess that's who I am. We can go deeper again into my background if you want to, but we'll see where we go.
Yeah, well, I'm super keen. Well, let's definitely see how it comes up. But I think that even just what you shared, I think it's amazing that that's what you've decided to do and come back to with this work. And
Yeah, welcome to the club. I guess I identify with everything that you said in almost everything in some of those ways with my own kind of story. And if it wasn't in my origin, it's definitely kind of come out in my relationships as they kind of come up, which is one of the first things you said. And I guess a really cool place to start is that idea that, I mean, it's been thrown around in lots of different quotes and wordings, but I guess it's like, if you don't do the work, your relationships will do it for you. Which, you know, some people believe, some people don't. And I guess it's dependent on, yeah, I guess I think you said safety. So yeah, I'd love to start there, see where that kind of leads us.
I mean, it is true, right? You have like all of these patterns that are created from, you know, very young age, and they start within your family home. Obviously, it's not just mom and dad who shape you. It could be, you know, other significant figures in your life, such as your grandparents, even your teachers in school. Beyond that, your favorite movies, your favorite books, your favorite love songs can all kind of subtly place an imprint on you in terms of how you see relationships or how you see yourself in relationships too. And so any kind of wounding or pain or unmet needs that you don't really address, they're going to show up. They're going to show up in your most intimate relationships, whether it's with your romantic partner or even what I found is, you know, some of my friendships were kind of confronting. Yeah. I started doing the work and I was like, oh shit, like I did not see this coming. And now I have this like downward spiral, you know, patterns just keep coming around the more you start to become aware of, and you're like, okay, this is not something to run away from, but to kind of deepen your practice and to kind of really focus in on it and to not be afraid of what's coming up for you, because it's an opportunity to grow, to heal, and to completely transform the relationship you have with yourself at the end of the day. So where do you want to go?
Not be afraid. Not be afraid. Let's talk about that. How the hell do you do that? How do you embrace and step into what potentially is coming up for you and super confronting, where I guess it's so much easier to not and to buckle or to people please or to run or to sabotage or to cut, you know? Oh, how do you do that?
Ooh, maybe we'll start with the whole sabotage, because that kind of resonates with me. Maybe we'll start with the personal things as opposed to what I do with clients, because sometimes it's easier to talk about that kind of stuff. But I'll put my hands up and say I used to be someone who was like, whoa, therapy, not going there. No way. Absolutely. Yeah, really. Mainly because, you know, I had a belief, and I guess this comes from movies, that you were crazy if you needed help from a professional. I did have awareness from a young age that therapy could help you because of what I grew up in. I guess I was the helper in my family, the kind of therapist to people. But I was always afraid, right? Up until I was about 24 and I had a public traumatic accident where I had a glass bottle split my head open, and I was really kind of rocked in terms of how I viewed myself and just being able to kind of cope with the emotions that came up. And I forced myself to go to therapy because I realized that I actually couldn't be this kind of strong person anymore. And I couldn't pretend that everything was okay when in fact it wasn't. So I remember going to therapy, and I remember being so resistant to it and really kind of, you know, at war with myself and even with my therapist, which she didn't know, but I was always like coming away from therapy being like, why is she asking me about this? Like, what is she trying to do? Like, where is she going with this? And I realized that was my self-sabotage. Like, that was me trying to talk myself out of going to therapy and out of getting help and out of healing. Right? Because getting support and leaning on someone was really hard for me to do. So
yeah.
I mean, had you similar experiences in your own journey, or is this hitting home?
Yeah. And I mean, I sound like a broken record for those listening and probably heard me say it 1,000 times, but the first time I went into therapy, I went in to get help for other people. You know, I went in to be like, I need the tools to be able to support the people that need the help from me. And he looked at me and after, I guess, not very long, was like, you know, you need to look at you. And for weeks, I was like, this guy has no idea what he's talking about. Oh, I went as far as being like, I'm going to report him to like the governing bodies to try and like get him disbarred. Like, you know, you're trying to tell me I have a problem, I'm going to get rid of you. That's how much I sabotage me. Yeah. Oh God. I did tell him that once and I apologized, but I just wasn't ready. And I was so scared and I wasn't really ready to hear that like lesson, which was, you know, this comes from well before the relationship you have with this, like the romantic relationship I was in. And I just didn't get it. I just wasn't ready to go, no. So yeah, I sabotaged that for sure.
Yeah, it can be scary. Like when I see people come in and, you know, you may not see them after the first or second session, I get it. And I'm just like, okay, you know, it's okay if they're not ready. It's okay if something was too confronting. It's okay if their priorities have changed. Like most people, well, not most people, but the people who are thinking in that direction eventually do get there or do get to that moment where they realize, okay, I need to go back, or this is something that I seriously need to pursue. It's just a matter of when and how and with who.
And that's why I like this idea of like jumping in. It's like, you know, feel the fear and do it anyway. I got a client that comes in every week and says, Jackson, I don't like being here and I dread coming here and this is the worst part of my week, but comes back, you know, comes back every week because I guess that's the commitment and doing the work. But that's on the back of, you know, 20 years of not doing it, of staying in at the time, even though it was destructive or potentially had a lot of survival mechanisms, it was safer in a way to not face it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
100%. I can totally resonate with that because, like I say, I was coming away from sessions cursing my first therapist, you know, frustrated, being like, is this even working? But there is some amount of healing that comes from just expressing yourself and having someone hear you and witness you and validate that, you know, what you did go through was pretty shit and pretty traumatic, and it's time to stop minimizing it or pretending that it's not affecting you when a lot of the time it does in very subtle ways.
So it would have been pretty exposing then to kind of surrender to that. It's like when my self-worth and how I feel and see me is out of whack. What was that kind of like for you?
I think because I obviously developed some survival mechanism where I was the caretaker when I was a child. So I saw myself as not having needs. So whether that was not needing help as well and thinking that like I could fix things and I could help everyone else feel better and I didn't need any of that myself. So for me, I had to really accept that I did need help and that this was not going to define who I was if I needed someone to emotionally support me through the ups and downs of life, of relationships, of unhealthy coping mechanisms that I developed because I didn't know how to regulate my emotions.
Yeah.
And how to kind of pick myself back up when the boat started to rock. or the waves kind of started to come crashing in and completely drowning me at one point. So it can cause you to, I guess, if you didn't want to pursue therapy, whether that's with a coach, with a psychologist, a psychotherapist or other, I guess maybe for some people out of self-protection, that could be why they don't accept help, because they want to protect their identity in some way.
I mean, I guess when you say that, I just think like so much of that identity for a lot of people has it's served them up until a point, and potentially still does serve them. And I'm similar to you. I guess my background is kind of in that people pleasing, caretaking. My value is being based off others, and I kind of needed to be needed, and that was the MO. That served me. Look at me now, you know, I'm a therapist. So obviously got me to a point. I know a lot of therapists are in this space because of that. So it does serve a purpose, but has that real crash and burn downfall, catastrophic consequences of burnout and resentment and not knowing your own needs and not being able to kind of really know how to get worth from within.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that was one of the hardest things for me to realize on my journey, was that the identity, like this kind of caretaking role or self that I had developed as survival based on the environment that I grew up in, like having to step out of that meant that I had to let go of certain relationships, of certain habits or thought processes or feelings that were being derived from giving in an unhealthy way or from something outside of me instead of from within. So that was scary in itself, moving into that kind of, okay, this is who I have been for some time. Like, where do I go now that I've realized that this is actually not who I am, but this was the response to trauma?
Yeah. So how do you, I mean, you know, you still obviously got a really strong value in supporting and helping others. How did you kind of get the kind of right alignment with it? And how do you keep yourself accountable today, you know?
It took a while. I mean, I still do like therapy today, 6 years on. But yeah, I think, and there's nothing wrong with that. If anything, it's like, you know, we can continue to expand our knowledge and just continue to see things in a different way if we choose to.
For sure.
How did I fall into alignment? That's a very good question. I've got to sit with this. It was scary because I think at 26 years of age, I had a bit of an identity crisis.
Okay.
Not knowing who I was without being a caretaker. So I obviously had to figure out, you know, what brought me joy, and realizing that my worth didn't rest on helping or giving to others, but it came from, you know, just me being me and being who I am without feeling that I needed to fall into certain conditions. So I didn't pursue this career straight away. So I had about about 4 years before I kind of fell into the coaching space, between when I started to wake up and really start to kind of go, oh my goodness, what is going on here? And then I realized that, you know, I did enjoy helping people and that this could be a strength, as opposed to being a reflection of who I am and my worth. So I had to kind of separate like me placing value on myself in this role, as opposed to, okay, this is actually what I'm good at. I understand the dynamics of helping others process their pain or leaving them be with their pain without needing to kind of fix it or save them from it, and just teaching them skills to deal with it and to feel safe in their pain, even when it's really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a mixture of things. I'm not sure if that answers your question.
Still nice.
What about you? If you come from like a similar kind of background with the kind of codependency or kind of identity.
Yeah. You might as well be the girl version of me. Like the timeline is so similar in the amount of years of therapy is so similar. And I'm like, okay, you just tell the story. You know, it's kind of, you know, really, really similar. I mean, I've been a therapist for like, 5 or 6 years, but it was probably at the start of those, you know, maybe a couple of years before that where, you know, I started to really probably have the same identity crisis when I kind of was left from a breakup being, you know, after like fully understanding my codependency, but then, you know, awareness doesn't really give us action. It just tells us now you just know when you're doing the dumb thing doing the same survival way of people pleasing or needing to be needed or getting my worth from others. So I still did it, you know, I still did less of it, but I did more of it in different ways, you know? So I think I came to kind of have that identity crisis where I actually found myself alone and I didn't know how to be that. I didn't know how to be alone. And the thing for me was I couldn't find it elsewhere. Like no matter how hard I tried, like, I mean, like dating apps weren't really working. There wasn't many people or that I was interested in. Like I wasn't someone that went out to kind of just have a hookup. Like I need emotional connection, believe it or not. And that meant that I had to be alone, you know, and that for me was my kind of crisis. It was like, oh, I'm forced to figure out how to be alone. And that was when I was like, wow, you still don't love yourself from within. You say you do, but the feeling still has that shame and real difficulty trying to overcome it. That we need to put the kind of, we need to talk and walk the walk as well. So I kind of similarly, maybe 25 was at a place where 24, where I was kind of just like, yep, this is the only way. I've got to find out how to fill my cup up from the inside and get internal worth. So yeah, very, very, very sort of similar trajectory. And yeah, I mean, I guess that is always going to be a part of me. And you know, the way I kind of explain it to others, like I don't want to change my values, which is to be caring and kind and mindful and compassionate to myself and others, I now realize. But I don't want to change that. I just don't want to do that in the extremes anymore.
Yeah. And that's so fair as well, because it's exhausting if you're always showing up in that way. And also it can be isolating too, if you're always giving to other people and not giving to yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, spending that time alone, it's amazing that you did have that time to kind of figure it out and find your way again. But being alone post breakup is a scary, scary thing to do. And it's very hard to do at times as well, if you've been so accustomed to always being with someone.
Yeah. And I guess it's that shows up for different reasons for people, whether that would be the people that I identify with the, you know, I need to be needed, or, you know, people pleasing kind of version. But in the same way, it's just like, I didn't learn anywhere else to not have my needs be met by others and that have its different sort of origin story. But again, I mean, so often, and I guess our culture and our society's kind of pushed us into this, like, you know, quick answer and quick fix to things, and there's access to so much stuff that we can stay distracted. So that's why I really like when you say, like, how do you eventually embrace and do the work unless you're forced into it, like I kind of was. It's like you have to be alone. So yeah, I guess what I guess there's not a big market for, like, you know, how do you sell someone on this, or how do they sell themselves on? Why don't I just go and find a new relationship the day later?
Because you repeat your patterns.
Yeah, there you go. Good answer.
I mean, for me, I went cold turkey, you know, after my last breakup, before my relationship. Now, I remember, but there's the judgment. This is it. This is what can enable you to not trust yourself in the choice. So I remember I went cold turkey. Like, I was adamant. I was not getting into another relationship. I was doing my own thing. And I guess the thing I really kind of clung on to was I was focusing on myself for the first time in my life. And I remember there was, like, people saying, oh, like, you should go back in the dating scene. Like, you know, you can find someone easily. Like, just go back dating. Like, it would be okay. And I was like, no, no. I need to focus on myself and take some time to figure out, like, what the hell was going on in my last relationship, first of all. And to understand.
Can I slow you down? Because I just think that I've met a lot of people that are on that mission, and it's so good, but they've got dating apps. They've got old hookups that they're still getting their needs met every now and then. So when you say cold turkey, how cold turkey are we talking, Katie?
I had never been on a dating app. I had no intentions of signing on a dating app. I did absolutely zero interactions with men when I came out of my last relationship for a solid 2 months, and it was the best thing that I ever did. Right?
Okay.
So, like, whether you're a man, a woman, or other, like, if you feel like you are having all this stuff come up for you in relationships and you're just after getting out of one, like, do yourself a favor, like, seize the opportunity that's in front of you instead of seeing it as a negative. Like, it's a positive. Like, you can develop your identity and figure out, like, your preferences. I know one of the things I did, like, was just, I spent a lot of time outside, like, really kind of just processing things, because I guess what I should say as well, my grandmother died 2 days after I got out of this relationship, so I had, like, double whammy of things to process. I know. But it was her kind of end of life that really kind of sparked the kind of, like, you know what, I'm done. I'm getting out of this relationship. I'm making myself happy. Life is really short. I'm going to figure out what to do. And I'm going to, you know, do things that make me feel good by myself. I don't necessarily need to be with friends right now. I just need to be with me.
Yep.
And there can be a lot of healing that can come from that, from just allowing yourself to kind of cry if you need to cry. Because there was a lot of tears that came up for me, but not because I had gotten out of a relationship, but because I had lost myself in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's scary to realize.
Yeah, for sure.
So
when you say lost yourself, I know how that worked for me was, like, all my eggs were in that basket, and when they, you know, when that ended, is they take themselves and the basket, which means I lost me because I gave that to them. I didn't leave anything for me. Is that, how did that work for you? Was it similar?
I think mine was a bit different. So
sure.
I will say that the relationship I got out of was labeled by two different practitioners as a domestic violence relationship. So I think how it worked for me is that, I guess, in those kind of relationships, you have, like, positive reinforcement mixed with devaluation.
Yeah, sure.
And for every time that I picked up the message that part of me wasn't liked, or wasn't accepted, or wasn't loved, I would hide it. So it was very much me kind of rejecting myself because someone else couldn't accept me for who I was. And over time, obviously, that led to me completely losing myself and becoming this version of me that I believed the other person wanted me to be, which created that kind of, I guess the best way I can describe it is there was like it was almost like I had a mask on. And there was this kind of gap between the mask and me that was creating all the anxiety, the kind of distress, the loneliness, the emptiness, the messiness and the pain that was coming from not being myself.
Totally.
So instead of seeing the relationship as, you know, them taking something away from me or taking the basket, and I think maybe this is what helped me to kind of heal kind of quite quickly from the relationship, is realizing that I was gaining myself by exiting out of the relationship.
Totally. Yeah.
So different ways of viewing this. Not everyone's going to view it in that way. But I think that's what helped me, is realizing that I was getting myself back, and that was a greater loss to me than the relationship itself was not being me and not having me.
Totally. I guess it's that role versus the true self, you know, where we really want to be able to, you know, have our true self, but we've just, we're so defined by having to adapt to this role in order to be loved or be seen or be heard, or, you know, as you say, sort of wear this over here and sort of figure out how do we stay and that sort of thing. And all the while, this poor little version of us is like, when are you going to let us out? You know, please, you haven't let us have fun or be, you know, have a voice for so long. And I guess the more that knocks at the door, the more we kind of leak out all our other things, like our sadness or our grief or depression or anxiety, because it's sort of trapped. It's the way I mean, look at it.
It can be really hard, because then you have all those kind of coping mechanisms that develop because you have those emotions bubbling up, where those thoughts or kind of flickers of reality, like there's always like a little hum of, you know this isn't right.
Why
are you abandoning yourself for this person? Like that kind of separation almost. Like I always kind of felt something and knew that something was off, but I chose to ignore it. And I chose to ignore it by escaping in other ways, through drinks and drugs. So it was that kind of like, okay, we'll stay in the relationship, but we'll just escape through other kind of behaviors to keep those emotions and keep those thoughts away, instead of actually accepting what's going on.
And you're saying that the acceptance, when you were ready, when it was time, was like you just saying, we need to start getting us back. You know, we need to kind of feel the loss of what that was, and how do we rebuild it from here?
Yeah, but that, it took me 2 years, I guess, because I started therapy after my accident, and then I started to, she was always hinting, like trying to direct me in a direction at therapy when I reflect on it, but I was always like, oh, let's not go there. So it took me 2 years before I had the confidence built up and the kind of awareness and ability to trust myself and to trust my judgments of what's going on, and to really say, okay, I'm breaking free now. I'm going to be me.
Very good.
Even if it means losing this.
So, I guess it's that stopping of the sacrifice of ourself and then choosing you for, you know, sometimes some of the first times in someone's life, and then wanting to kind of live that a little bit and enjoy it a little bit. Bringing that into relationship, I guess it's like a, how do you feel kind of stepping straight into it? Because I guess how it works for me has always been like, all right, I'm the best version of me. I'm ready. I'm going to jump in and see what I bring. But then I go, oh, I'm here. And then there's all these other things sort of like, so I stay strong in me, but there's so many little tests. I guess, so I'd love to get your feedback on it. It's like my model of love is still built on the experiences of attachment that different relationships that I've kind of been in. And yeah, I can kind of create a change in my version of how I play a role in that relationship that I bring to, which is incredibly important and definitely essential for my process to be able to step into whatever I step into. But my model of love kind of wasn't able to fully change until I was able to start building safe relationships and use my ability to kind of communicate and start breaking it and creating a new one with another that was also able to do that. Does that make sense?
I think so. What if my answer is going to be? I have no idea. I'm like, what's the question?
Yeah, fair. Well, I guess like the model of love, right? So like when you brought back into, when you step back into relationship, you felt a lot better about you and were ready and feeling you and being more authentically free because you've broken through that. So I guess how did then stepping back into it, knowing that you still got another person that you're then entering in with?
So I guess let me do a bit of a timeline to this because I feel like this is a bit more complex than a straight up answer. So you get out of a relationship, took this, you know, cold turkey approach to myself, understood, you know, what my views of relationship was. So, you know, why did I see myself as less than? Why did I see myself as not being able to set boundaries or to have a voice or to, kind of have equal control in a relationship instead of kind of giving away control or power to someone else in a relationship. So really kind of being curious on that. And that kind of led me to, you know, think about, oh God, what's after happening in my family home? Because that's where it starts, right? So I had to go on this kind of inward journey, like listening to podcasts, like reading books, journaling, just kind of figuring out, like, why do I think certain things about myself, certain things about relationships, certain things about men. Where does that come from? So started kind of getting into personal development and inner work more deeply at that stage. So this was 2 years in therapy and we're going deeper again. And then I will say I probably like went from cold turkey to like feeling very empowered and like, okay, I've never been properly single on the dating scene. What are these dating apps about? Let's give that a whirl. So, you know, went through my phase of, you know, dating different guys and kind of the way I would say is I was making my vision clearer as to what I wanted from a relationship. I hate using that. I don't want to use that word. People who've dated me would be like, was I researched?
I hear you.
In a way, you have to experience and allow yourself to experience something different and to kind of really know that, yes, there may be absolute disaster dates out there and that's okay, but you can take the knowledge away from that, what worked well for you, what didn't. You know, what did you like in this person? What did you not like in this person? Where were you maybe not speaking up when you felt like you should have? Or where were you maybe not being as honest as you wanted to be? And kind of really observing yourself as you're dating to kind of fine tune your focus on what you want from a relationship with someone else. So I had my kind of, you know, single phase or whatever we call it. And then moved to Australia and pretty much without expecting it to happen, I met my now fiance, which kind of was, I was like, oh, am I ready? Am I ready for this? Like, this guy is ticking a lot of like things. There's a lot of green flags, but am I ready for something like this, like now, right? So mm-hmm. yeah. that was scary. I was going to run away. I tried to friend zone him.
Yeah.
And to this day, he keeps saying it to me. He's like, remember when you tried to friend zone me? And I was like, yeah, that's because I was like afraid.
Yeah.
So it's not always going to be a straightforward answer, right? You just have to witness yourself and pay attention to, do you like them? Like, do you feel safe with them? Do you feel like you're being you? Or are you paying attention to how they're responding towards you? And are you adjusting yourself based on the feedback you're getting? So I think it was kind of knowing the difference in focus. Like, do I like them? How are they showing up? Are they communicating with me? Do I feel like I'm being honest with them? Am I feeling good and safe, or am I feeling like anxious and scared? And like really being able to kind of understand myself through those experiences.
Yeah.
So does that answer your question?
Yeah, I mean, I forgot the question, but I love it. I love the answer.
People can rewind back and see.
Yeah, this happens a lot. But I mean, I love the journey of it all as well. And I guess that you, even the way that you explain that is exactly kind of, I think, what my question kind of was, is really being able to get like, how do you stay authentic and observe and know things are going to come up, and kind of really get the idea of where the, because it's, I guess that there's going to be that, like, I know this feels really good, but there's my fear of just being in a relationship again. So it's like, how do I overcome my fear? Or am I just going to say, no, it's because I don't like him or whatever, you know? So I like the way that you kind of have that, you know, over time kind of way of assessing and observing and fine tuning to then be able to go, all right, now it's gotten to the point where what do you feel within you about them rather than what you like about them? And do you feel safe, and are they showing up, and how are you showing up? I really like that language and that way of kind of going, I'm going to have me, but I'm also going to, I guess, be vulnerable to experience the connection and see what you can kind of come back with.
And it's not always easy to do, right? Because everyone wants to be their best self at the start. It's like, well, is your best self only a fraction of you too? Like, if you're setting that kind of standard from the get-go, like, how can you be more authentic so that your relationship is more authentic instead of just trying to be the best version of you without any mistakes or flaws or, you know, kind of skeletons.
Yeah. That's it. All the shadows coming out. Yeah. And I mean, we could talk forever about all that too, because it's, I guess, that whole part of like, how much is too much of you? How do you know when it's safe enough, or you feel like you can be more available, or they're shown and they're available enough for you to step in further, you know? All that stuff is so super, super challenging, but I guess it's kind of come right back full circle to the start. It's like, have to kind of start to feel the fear and know it's going to be uncomfortable and be willing to kind of navigate and reflect.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the way I'm trying to think how I looked at it back then, I think I tapped into my value of honesty and authenticity, and choosing to be honest and choosing to be myself, even if I knew the other person was not totally accepting, or if I knew that there was a chance that they might leave. Like, I was very much at peace with, okay, if this person doesn't like me, cool, that's fair. I don't need to be liked by everyone. Not everyone needs to stick around, and really just understanding that, you know, if you show up as you and being authentic and kind of speaking up when things feel good versus don't feel good, it also invites someone else to show up in that way too, because yeah. I guess if you start playing mind games, like there's a chance they're going to sense that and they're going to do it back. So it's just like
defend themselves.
Yeah. Right? So it's hard to figure it out, but it gets easier the more you do it, the more honest you are, and the more kind of authentic and vulnerable.
And I love that, because that someone who's also willing to show up and do that when you're offering it, firstly, there's the invitation for them to do it, but then there's the invitation for them to go, oh yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'm not there and I don't do that. And that's, you know, that's their stuff to kind of figure out. And I guess for those that do sit on that end, for those maybe listening, it's like, question that, think about that. Like, what is it stopping me from willing to kind of go back and, hey, they were really, really honest. How do I be really, really honest with what I'm willing to kind of offer? But yeah, I really like the more work you do on you, the more you can kind of show up and go, if they don't want it, then jog on, you know, this is me.
Yeah, 100%. Like I nearly ran away from my fiance at the start because, you know, the child in me was like, ooh, we're not ready. And then I was like, poor. I can look at this as an opportunity to actually deepen my practice and actually to allow myself to trust a man. Because obviously, you know, part of my relationship trauma is not being able to trust a man. And that goes way back to childhood again. I want to make that connection for people. But
shit.
We're going deep. But like choosing to allow myself to open up my heart and to trust and to know that, okay, I'm a different person now to X months ago or to X years ago. And that if there were red flags, like I can see them there. I can get myself out of the situation or speak up and change the pattern, which is what's going to be important for people is action. Do something different. Don't stay the same.
Oh, I love it. It's so good. I feel really pumped up.
Me too. I'm like, we can keep going. I'm like,
I'm excited. I think you that it shines through your like your passion for this work and then your unapologetically you and like how it kind of sings like you're like, try it, you know.
It's actually really scary at the start, like can be heavy, you're gonna cry, but really good.
yeah totally. And I guess that's life. I guess that's a big part of this, the whole thing. It's like vulnerability means connection, but vulnerability is scary as shit, but connection's so good. It's like all gonna come with its things. Oh man, there's so many more things I want to talk about, but we end up talking all day. It's been so nice talking to you. Where can people come and find out more? What's on offer at the moment? When are you coming back on the podcast?
People can find me, I guess, website is katieodonahue.com. So pretty much all of the connection points will be there, whether that's to my Instagram page, which is also at Katie O'Donohue. Very simple. Nice. Podcast is self-explained and TBC on when we're going to return. And I'll probably invite you on, Jackson, to talk about something that you're passionate about, specifically relationships or other. Offers, there's a few masterclasses coming up, so people will have to just keep an eye out, but you can expect that it may look like it's going to be fun, but we're also going to go like 7 levels deep because I want to give you those light bulb moments and kind of like, oh shit, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. That's pretty much all that I have to say with how to find me and offers is just keep an eye out. I do appreciate you having me on, and it's been such a juicy conversation.
yeah Yeah, I know. I just feel like we're getting right into it. So, I mean, obviously there's so much to cover when it comes to choosing you and being authentic. So this is just a small smidgen of it, but I'll put all that stuff on the little show notes and links to you on the website and stuff like that. And yeah, I would love to encourage everyone to do the masterclasses. They're going to be awesome and really, really cool. I hope we can kind of work together again, Katie. I'd love to come on your podcast because, yeah, I mean, we're doing the good work, and that's sort of choosing you and being authentic and then being able to kind of have love in your life too. So I love what you're doing, and I'm really, really grateful and honored that you've come on.
Oh, feelings mutual, Jackson. You know, like, you're quite an inspiration to a lot of people, especially in the therapy space. So I'm like, we got this.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. All right. Thanks so much.
If you want to find out more about how therapy can help you kick some goals, go check out findreasontherapy.com.au or the Find Reason Therapy Instagram page.